What do you think birds think planes are?
I don't know if they ever think. That's the thing. Do they really think about them? Or are they
Well,
just
yeah, they're
part of the sky?
sentient. They must acknowledge them somehow. They fly
They're the
alongside
high
them
ones. Although,
sometimes.
yeah, that's true. It'd be funny
The
if there
high
was some geese that got
ones.
very confused. Some geese got very confused and just made a bloody made the triangle position with the plane leading it. That'd be quite amusing. No, I but just imagine they think they're other birds that don't talk to them back to them and are very loud and may kill them. So stay far
Yeah.
away.
Like,
You know?
what do fish think of whales?
Big fucker. You could eat me, run very far.
Yeah, I was reading yesterday that goldfish are dicks, essentially,
Are they?
because they disrupt ecosystems and communities of fish. So that's why you never put other fish in with goldfish,
Did
because
you see the video? Oh, not the video, the picture. Did I send you the picture of the massive goldfish?
of the giant goldfish, yeah. That's why you
Yeah,
never
that,
flush them
yeah,
down the
that.
toilet, because they
Because they ended
grow
up.
to their environment.
Yeah, and this was like the biggest goldfish going. This was like, it was so fat and so like, it just very much adapted. But I can imagine he was a bit of a prick about it.
But yeah, they break other fish's houses. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Four Eyes and the Giant. My name is George Steele, and I'm 6'5". I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Cameron. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Yeah, as I said, I'm still very tired. I don't know if you'll keep that in, but I am shattered. So, how about you? You dead inside still?
I'm still. I've got to recover. It was quite busy, but quite busy today in the kitchen. It was dead business, but we were doing lots of prep.
Chopping those potatoes, peeling
Chopping
those
potato, chopping
potatoes.
carrots,
Oh.
making haggis bonbons, making jalapeno poppers.
Oh, you'll have been drooling. You love a jalapeno
Yeah.
popper.
Oh, they were all melting. It was horrible. You
Oh,
gotta do
dear.
it
Was it
quick
really
when
warm?
they're
I'd imagine there
frozen.
was no central heating in that kitchen either.
It's boiling, absolutely boiling. I had to
Yeah.
just repeatedly get drinks. And we were lucky because there was no actual business, because it's a failing business. We were able to just go outside a lot.
Fair enough. I was sitting here baking in my room. I decided I was going to go to the cinema to see stuff today, but I didn't want to face the train because just being trapped in a small metal box that's very warm. I can't be arsed with that.
Yeah.
As much as the cinema would have been freezing by the time I got there, but I don't know. Just too lazy by the
Too late.
most part. Too
Yeah,
lazy.
you did a lot of traveling yesterday as well. Today we are recording on the 16th of July, but this episode shall come out on the 19th of July. And
Okay.
from the 19th to the 25th of July, 10 years ago, we saw the following releases. On the
Okay, that's a big one.
19th, we saw the release of Captain America, the First Avenger.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It both feels like it's very long time ago, but also feels like it doesn't
It's
feel like it
only
was
been
that
10
long ago, but also
years.
feels like it was, yeah. And then I don't know, it's weird that it feels like it was an eternity ago, and it also feels like it was really not that long ago. Because I remember the first time I watched that wasn't in cinemas. I watched it at my uncle's house on his new brand new 3D TV, and I watched it in the
Oh.
third dimension. Yeah, it was very swish at the time.
Definitely did. I don't know what I saw in cinema. I definitely didn't see Captain America or Thor. I don't even know if I
My
saw
first
them.
one was
I'm
Avengers.
sure I saw Iron Man. But if I didn't, then my it must have been Avengers, yeah. Would we not have been old enough to... What was Iron Man? What was its age rating?
2008. That would have been 12A. I got it on DVD, but I didn't see it in cinemas. I got all on DVD, apart from Thor, which I watched at a sleepover when I was in like P7. But that was... I think the first one was Avengers, then I skipped Thor 2. Mm. And then from then on, I think I saw all of them. And like Iron Man 3 and that. So
again, I don't know if I saw it in... I definitely wouldn't have seen The Incredible Hulk. That would have been one that we would have seen as soon as that came out on like DVD or something, because I'm a huge Hulk fan. So I was really looking forward to that.
Same.
Seeing all the adverts. But yeah, I also loved Iron Man. So we probably saw that quickly. We had the DVD of that, like the normal DVD. So yeah. And then, yeah, so Avengers must have been the first one. But, and look how far we've come.
I know. We'll talk about that later on, won't we?
Yeah.
And then, going a bit crazy.
2 days later, on the 22nd, 3 days later, on the 22nd, so we saw the release of Friends with Benefits. Starring Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
And co-starring Emma Stone.
Oh, is it?
That's a hint towards something in the future. I'm dropping an Easter egg.
Okay. then on the 23rd, on the 23rd of July, Cowboys and Aliens came out. Do you remember this?
Don't think I've ever seen it, but I heard it infamous. I saw the posters everywhere, all the adverts everywhere, and then it flopped like nothing. Didn't it? Proper flopped.
I think I saw this at my friend's house when it came out on DVD. Daniel Craig, Harrison Ford, Olivia Wilde, I think she plays the love interest that
John Favreau directed, no?
John Favreau directing. Wow.
Yep.
But speaking of DC, so this week, the week of the podcast releasing, we're seeing the release of The Suicide Squad, which we're both really, really excited for.
Again, Jordy, I don't think your time is working. This week is not... The week of the podcast releasing is the Friday is the 23rd.
I have been corrected. The Suicide Squad comes out in 2 weeks. It's nice to know that. But anyway, we're going to keep with the topic, and we decided that in celebration of The Suicide Squad, we would talk about DC properties that we want to be adapted to screen, whether that be film, series, like HBO Max series. We'll go through it. Cameron, you can start.
Are you making me start? Because you know, my DC knowledge is very limited in the fact that I know the big hitters. I know,
right,
like the Killing Joke, you know, the big Frank Miller one, you know, the one where he's like the Dark Knight. Is it the one with the Dark Knight? Is that the same comic? I don't know. But what I have read, Jordy, I spent most of S1 to 3 reading Nightwing. And I would very much like to read. I'd like to see a proper Nightwing series or movie or anything. I just like him. He's a fun guy. I want to see the circus stuff. I also want to see a Batgirl stuff. I just want them just to have a good time with it.
Well, that's Joss. My
thing. I don't know what kind of Joss Whedon.
It's not Joss Whedon though.
Don't use that name. It's not Joss Whedon anymore. It's no one. No one's doing it, I don't think. I don't think anyone's. I think they've given up on Batgirl.
Get Jason Reitman to do it.
That's a good show. If Ghostbusters Afterlife is good, I think the offers will come rolling in, because he's not proven himself as a big money director yet, has he? I don't think he's done anything big money. He's done Up in the Air and Tully, really. That's kind of it. So if you get... No, and Ides of Marches. Was he Ides up? Am I getting him mixed up with Ides? Is he Ides of Marches or is he Up in the Air? I can't remember. But
he did Up in the Air, Juno. The Front Runner was what I watched the other day that he made. The
Front Runner. I enjoyed that. So yeah, I think he'd be a massive show for Batgirl, and then maybe leading on to Nightwing. I would basically make what the Gotham Knights game is into a movie. Do that.
Right.
That's my pitch. Just what they're doing.
Right, so you want like a Bat Family film.
Just do a Bat Family film, but without Batman.
Right.
Because fuck Batman.
No, because it would have to be. I was going to say 10 years after the Batman. So we start building a Batman universe for our pets, for Batison.
That would be great though. And if Arpat stays on to do this as a big franchise, which I don't know if he will, but he does, then you could build on shit. But they were planning it as a trilogy, were they not? That's what at least
The Matt Reeves, it's gonna be a trilogy.
Matt Reeves was thinking a trilogy. If Arpat manages to stay on and they don't have to change him midway through, because imagine you'd be burned by Twilight at this point. You don't wanna I don't think you'd want to repeat
a full franchise.
But if you could build off that universe, because they are trying to build up the HBO Max thing, they're doing loads of different shit. So my pitch for a TV series is just Gotham. Do Gotham again, but well.
Just do Gotham again. Oh, I like the first season.
Mm-hmm. Same.
That
and then how much further did you get in?
I got maybe three seasons. I finished the third season. The Jerome was still alive when I never got to the point where he faked his death or didn't, and then came back, and then turned out he had a twin, and then Jerome died, and then he turned his twin in crazy into the Joker, because everybody loves this concept that there's multiple Jokers, but nobody's like got the balls to just pull off the Joker.
I think I hit season two. I think that I don't know if Jerome was ever... Was Jerome in season two? Either way, I don't remember.
That's when
Channel 5 took ages to put all the... Channel 5 took all the ages, took ages to bring all the series, the seasons out, so I was stuck because I had no clue the internet existed. So I couldn't download that shit if I wanted to. Because I was saying wait for Channel 5 to show them.
Was it not on Sci-Fi? Was that not the channel it was originally on? Oh.
It was on Channel 5 originally. It might have moved to Sci-Fi afterwards, but it was on Channel 5.
Oh, well. So you want a Nightwing. Oh, well. I think Chris McKay was going to be making a Nightwing film. Who would you want to do Nightwing?
I don't even know at this point. Like, it's one of those ones where you could really bring anyone in, I think, to do a Nightwing. And it's very easy concept to pull off as long as you sort of nail the action down. I don't know if I'd want to go super gritty with them, though. If you did, I would bring in... It's so cliche to say, because I don't want to be like, bring in the people that made John Wick, but just bring in someone that can do action well, and then you're fine. You know what I mean? Don't...
Eric Kolstad.
It's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do someone that can Eric do an Kolstad. Imaginative... And then uses... Really lean into the whole acrobat shit. And that'd be nice, you know?
Or like Ben Wheatley.
Aerial combat sort of. Yes, that would be a really interesting movie if he wasn't doing the Meg 2.
Oh yeah. That's such a strange. I always forget about that. And it's like, oh yeah, that's the thing. For my first property, I went more so over to I hopped along to the DC Vertigo print, which has brought us such things as Preacher. Was the Boys? Is the Boys Vertigo? No,
The Boys is in DC. Is it The Wolf Among Us? Is that one? The one people that the fables.
Pretty sure I'm trying to look at all at my comics collection and see how many Vertigo. Why the Last Man, which is also it's being adapted. The first trailer for that came out recently. It's full of all these prints that are being adapted, and I think they should adapt the comic series known as American Vampire as an HBO Max series.
It just makes me think, you said American Vampire, but for some reason it said that in my head in the tune of American Dragon. So it was like the American Dragon Vampire.
Jake Long.
Yes.
The Jake Long. Just live action. Where is it, Disney?
Good. It's not even on Disney Plus in the UK. Fuck knows where it is.
Yeah, so created by Scott Snyder and Stephen King, the focus of the series is a notorious outlaw in the 19th century American West named Skinner Sweet. Burp. Who wakes from death to find he has become a new kind of vampire, something stronger and faster than what came before, impervious to sunlight with a new set of strengths and weaknesses. The series goes on to track his movement throughout various decades of American history, along with the movements of Pearl Jones, a young woman working as a struggling actress in the 1920s silent film industry, who was attacked by a coven of European vampires hiding in Hollywood. Sweet saved her, turning her into a vampire like him, at which point she seeks revenge on the classic vampires who attacked her in life. So I guess you could do it as a series, or I guess a film, a standalone film, where at the beginning he becomes the first American vampire and then skip a bit and then she becomes the second American vampire. And then it's all about revenge for her. And he's just like the gunslinger that helps. But people love adapting Stephen King. So.
Oh, they'll touch it. If Stephen King's got his name in it, they'll go, yep, it did well. So we'll just make everything Stephen King's ever made.
Yeah, Stephen King and Scott Snyder, who did the Batman run.
Who did one of my favorite Batmans.
The Court of the Owls. The Court of the Owls, yeah. He did. I've got the first 8 volumes of that run he did.
Is he a writer or a artist, Scott Snyder?
He's a writer. He's a writer.
Writer, yeah.
Writer. Greg
Capullo
Capullo was the artist for Batman. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's been multiple artists for American Vampire, but Stephen King is the selling point, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Cameron, what's your second character?
Character, I was going to just do...
Or storyline.
Because the only ones I know, Jordy, I only know the basics, and I'm not very smart. Can we get a Polka Dot Man series? Just do it. Just do the... Just spin off fucking David What's-His-Face into its own... Just take everyone. If he survives. He didn't need to survive. He could just do anything. I don't know. Just really want James Gunn's doing what I wanted him to do, basically, and just pulling out all of the weirdos of all, like all the stupid, you know, all the times you would see like the memes where it's like all of Batman's greatest villains, and it'd just be like all the shit villains. He's just doing what I want him to do and pulling out all the shit villains from like comics, like one comics or whatever, and then bringing them in, like fucking Condiment King is what we need next. Thank you very much. You know.
Just, oh yes.
Yep.
From Batman, Brave and the Bold.
Yep. Just bring anyone and everyone with a stupid name or a silly power. I'm sorted. That's my second pick. Stupid people.
There you go.
Decided. On the fly. My second pick is stupid people.
Stupid people. Or more Who spin-offs favorite... of the Suicide Squad.
Yes. Who are your favorite stupid people?
My favorite stupid people. For just DC?
Yeah. Well, you could throw a couple Marvel ones in if there's any significant ones.
So for Marvel, there is a character called Razorback who wears a boar skin. And his power is the ability to be able to drive any vehicle. So, like, as soon as James Gunn started doing the Suicide Squad and all these the stupid characters were announced as being used, I wish they'd do that for like Thunderbolt. Have Razorback get Big Wheel into the MCU.
Wheel going to?
He's a man who drives a big wheel, like a Ferris wheel. He was also, I think, the opening boss of the Amazing Spider-Man video game, or Amazing Spider-Man 2, if you remember that.
I can't say I've played either of those games. I wanted to play Amazing Spider-Man 2, never played it.
But yeah, he's literally a man that drives a Ferris wheel. And there's also The Door, who is a man that can become a hole in a wall. That's
no
it.
Way.
Very much playing on the same stuff as like Polka Dot Man, where his suit is his power and then he just becomes the whole. But that's Marvel. On the side of DC, Condiment King was a good call. I forgot about him. When are we going to see like Clock King or Kite Man? Kite Man is a brilliant character. Because, who did it? There was a run of some series of some Batman comic where Kite Man, they reinvented the character of Kite Man because he's a bad guy whose gimmick was a kite. So
he's in Harley Quinn.
Right.
He's in Harley Quinn. He's a member of Legion of Doom, that's what it is, yeah.
But, in that series, it basically showed that he was a laughing stock amongst all the rogue gallery as well. So nobody took him seriously. And he goes through like some deep shit. And it would be great to have him in the Gotham Central series that they're doing.
Calendar Man.
But yeah.
He's one as well, isn't he? He just
Calendar Man. He'd be good in the Reeves universe as well, if they're doing sort of like Zodiac stuff.
Yeah.
Because people the Batman has been rumored to be adapting the Long Halloween series a comic run, which featured the Calendar Man as a sort of what's his name? Hannibal Lecter sort of character behind bars, but like, I know what's going on. That one.
There's loads of funny ones you could pull from Arkham, the Arkham ones, because the only reason I know Calendar Man is because of the Arkham City. Arkham City is in Arkham City. Yes, because you have to get an achievement, you have to go back on certain dates and hear him talk. So you go back on Christmas, on Easter, on Halloween, on July 4th, stuff like that, you'll say a different thing depending on the day.
Yeah.
The Mad Hatter guy is a weird guy as well. I'm going off on a tangent at this point. You know, there's loads, like, the Arkham City is a wealth of stupid characters that you could just, that would be quite good. And especially, you made me think about the Reeves universe, that is a perfect call, because you could make all of these weird killers very grounded in a way. And do all the murder, do the murder mystery around all their gimmicks, I guess. And not have to do.
And specifically another character, which I think you might say later, but if you want to, you can say now.
Go on. I don't know who you're talking about.
Victor Zsasz.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'll just do all of my bloody.
Okay. Just
all
go
my,
for
all
it.
Of my all of my ideas now. Victor Zsasz. Because that's why. But we're thinking about this. I was like, oh my god, they could just do loads of villain origin stories in the same way that they do Joker. And a one I would like to watch that I think would be better than Joker would be Zsasz. Is that like a Victor Zsasz movie? Just have him losing his mind and just going on like, but there'd be no sympathy, either that or he is the main killer of a detective thing.
Yeah.
So just make him part of, again, just make him part of the Batman thing. But I just feel like something focused on Victor Zsasz. I don't think he's not in Batman Begins, is he? Am I remembering that wrong?
No, he's in Gotham.
Is he in Gotham?
Yes.
So just do something. I just want to see him adapted. I think it'd be really cool if you could just do something with him, because I just feel like he's a good, cool character no one uses. Just do it.
Yeah.
That's they're all my ideas. I think I've drained now, bar one. So you have a good go of all the things you have now. I've just completely outed all of my opinions.
Okay, so my next pitch is for an HBO Max series based on The Authority. Created in 1999 by Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch for the Wildstorm line of comics, The Authority is a team of superheroes who get the job done by any means necessary, like Bob the Builder. The team consists of such characters as Jenny Sparks, a British woman who can generate and turn into electricity, Jack Hawksmoor, who is psychically bonded to cities in order to communicate with them and receive powers from them. So he starts dying when he leaves the city. He has to be amongst the city. And when he is able to, he gets like stronger, he's able to fly, but he's also able to talk and communicate with buildings. There's a sort of sentience around them that allows him to sort of talk, and he knows the layout of all cities as soon as he's in them. And he can also just tell buildings to crumble. It's a very, very strange and original
power. He sounds
like
he could be good friends of the Calendar Man and Condiment King. He sounds like they'd get on well, I think.
Yeah. Other characters are Swift, a Tibetan woman who possesses wings and sharp talons. The engineer, a scientist who has replaced her blood and with 9 pints of nanotechnology and create solid objects with it. And then the two main boys, Apollo, a bioengineered Superman counterpart, and Midnighter, a bioengineered Batman counterpart who possesses the ability to foresee his opponent's moves in combat. And these two are standouts because they are married. So it would be the first DC thing to star a gay couple. And they are fantastic because it's basically an R-rated Justice League. So it's like The Boys and Invincible, which people are loving right now. People love the what if it was superheroes, but very violent. In the comics, there are a lot of horrific acts of violence, and there is a lot of sexual abuse storylines. So they'd have to be Mark Miller came on to write for this series, essentially. And also, it was very, a lot of stuff was about like military and how the Justice League or the Authority was used for the military and stuff. And then 9/11 happened. And DC were like, maybe cut down in all the really, not convoluted, what's the word?
Controversial
elements. But yeah, in an era where people are loving The Boys and Invincible, I think The Authority could be very good. Do you have anyone you want
and
to say?
For your next trick.
Or for my next trick?
No, because I just basically ruined my entire, because I was like, oh shit. Because I was like, I basically, my mind started coming up with ideas midway through, and I just had to get them out before I forgot them. I only have one more, so
okay.
You just do another one.
I'll do another one. So you mentioned it earlier, Fables, they have tried in the past. Created by Bill Willingham, Fables tells the story of a community of fairy tale characters who live secretly within a district of New York City called Fabletown, after their own world was conquered by a mysterious enemy known as the Adversary. The series mainly follows several of Fabletown's legal representatives, such as Sheriff Bigby Wolf, who is the Big Bad Wolf, or was the Big Bad Wolf, Deputy Mayor Snow White, her sister Rose Red, which is Red Riding Hood, Prince Charming, and Boy Blue, as they deal with the troublesome fables and try to save conflicts in both Fabletown and The Farm, a hidden town in upstate New York for fables unable to blend in with human society. This is what The Wolf Among Us, the Telltale game, is based on. So you'll know. at least yes, some stuff about
I know very well. Yeah. Well, I don't know all very well. I'm just saying I know all the stuff from the game. Zoom does not like that, but I imagine that's the Zoom cover to like Fables.
That's the cover to Fables. It's a big boy for the deluxe edition. But it's one of my favorite comic books, which is why I love The Wolf Among Us, which is a prequel to Fables.
Is it?
Yes. Essentially, they were going to make, I think NBC were going to make a Fables, and they had a script, and then they decided not to do it. And then they went on to make the TV show Grimm, which is about a policeman dealing with fairy tale inspired characters. It's also
suspicious.
Yeah, it's also inspired the TV show Once Upon a Time, which more people might have heard of. It's on Disney Plus.
That's the Disney Princess one, isn't it? That's the one where it's like Riverdale meets Disney Princesses in a kind of way, isn't it?
Sort of, yeah, but it came first. It was like, yeah, the fairy tale world was destroyed by an evil power, Maleficent. And they all escaped to Storybrooke, but they don't remember who they are for one season. And then they all remember who they are.
And at one point, Elsa comes in.
Yes, and then they were like, we need to make this popular again. Let's bring in Elsa.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched the first two seasons when I was living at home with the fam. Because it was on throughout when I was in high school, so...
Yeah,
that's what we watched.
Yeah,
Cameron, do you have? And Hugh Jackman would be great as Bigby Wolf.
He would. That's a great call.
Mm.
That's a very good call. My last one is just the Court of the Owls. Just that. Just do it. I've wanted them to do it for ages, but they're doing it. By the sort of looks of things, they could be doing it anyway. So
it's a theory.
Sort of a dud pick. It's a theory.
I don't think they should.
Why not?
In that camp. But for the Batman, I don't think they are doing the Court of Owls so soon.
Wasn't the theory going that it was an arc, though? It was the starting of the arc. Like, they were going to end on the Court of Owls. I thought that would be all right, wouldn't it? If they did two films leading up to it, and then they did the Court of the Owls for the third one.
Possibly, yeah. It would make sense because if they're going to do the arc where it's all about how Bruce Wayne's parents weren't as good as he thinks they were, then that makes sense as the final example of who Thomas Wayne and Martha Wayne really were.
Yeah. It's just really good. I mean, that was one of the ones, along with Nightwing, that was one of the ones I read in high school, and I read them in high school, and my English teacher got very annoyed when during reading periods I take out comic books.
Yes.
Because fuck novels. Fuck words, really.
Yeah. Right.
Welcome to the Weekly Walkthrough, watch the segment of the show where we talk about the things we've seen this week and the things you're going to watch next week. I don't know. Is that what you say? I don't know. That's close to what you say. Is that exactly what you say?
Cameron, what did you watch this week?
This week I watched Escape Room. Just mention that quickly. I watched the first Escape Room because the second one came out Friday and I was going to go and watch it, but then I decided not to. It was fine. It was just, I don't know. There wasn't much to say about it. It was just a watchable movie. I did watch Space Jam 1 as well, and I hated it. Okay. I hated it. Could not stand it at all.
Keep in mind it's a kid's film.
I do keep in mind it's a kid's film. I just was uninterested. I don't think even my kid-like brain was just not taken in by the pretty colours. It was just...
Right.
I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it. But I did watch Space Jam 2 today, and... my oh my, what a film.
Did the first one raise your expectations, or could you even be lowered?
I don't think they could have been lowered. I don't think they could have been lowered by Space Jam 1. What I will say about Space Jam 2 is that I think it's better than the first one, because the first one doesn't do much. The first one has like no padding. They just sort of like, he's gone down the rabbit hole, play a game. The second one has at least some build up to it, and it's like there's like funnier moments, I guess. But yeah, it's just blatant. Just it feels too corporate and too lifeless and soulless, and it's just a massive advert for look how much IP we have. It's just Ready Player One again, but not as good as Ready Player One. And the fact that Ready Player One at least felt genuine at times, this just feels like a soulless cash grab in the attempt to advertise how much stuff could be coming to HBO Max in the future. It's just shocking. The Looney Tunes stuff is okay, like with sort of that kind of thing. LeBron's a better actor than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's all I can say. And there's moments in this film I'd love to see your reaction to, just to see how hard your face will hit your hand will hit your face. And okay, when you go to face palm, that's about it. I cannot wait to hear what you think about this when you get to watch it. We'll talk about it next week when you can message me and that, but it is just atrocious. It really is. I fell asleep in the last half an hour. What?
How is Dawn?
Dawn is cringy as hell. It's just so cringy, no. And just so buzzwords about, because he's Algorithm, the algorithm. Work. Yeah, he just uses loads of like technological buzzwords, and it just becomes depressing.
Depressing.
Jeez-o. So it's two thumbs down for Cameron in this one.
Two thumbs down. Wow.
Yeah.
Cameron, can you guess what Space Jam: A New Legacy has currently on Rotten Tomatoes?
I think I'm spoiled. I know what the Metacritic is, and I believe that's like 36. So I would hazard a guess that it's slightly lower than that for the so I'd go like maybe 25.
It is currently 35%.
Jesus Christ.
Cameron, can you guess what the original Space Jam released in 1996 has on Rotten Tomatoes?
52.
44%. With the audience score of 63.
People hold that film very dearly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. People don't hold that film as dearly as I thought they did.
Fly like an eagle. Did you not enjoy appearances from such players as Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Muggsy Bogues, Sean Bradley, and Bill Murray?
I can't say I did, bar Bill Murray, who is a delight in everything he does. And any comments made about Space Jam should not be attributed to Bill Murray in any way. Thank you.
Okay.
What did you watch, Garfield? Jordy?
This week, I watched three films I won't go deep into, but I recommend to everyone is the anime Akira. I watched that again on my lovely TV screen and not on a laptop or a computer I did for the first time I saw it. I want to see that film in a cinema desperately.
You had you had the tickets. You could have saw that bitch in IMAX.
Yeah.
You could have gone yourself.
You need to as well. Because I know you're not the biggest fan of anime, but I think you would appreciate just the awe-inspiring animation and art that is Akira.
I have the 4K disc of Akira. And what happened when it came was that they had to send out a replacement, basically, because it didn't come with HDR on the disc. So I have a copy of the film in 4K SDR with the nice packaging. I've been meaning to give to you for a very, very long time. That came out about April last year, and I meant to give it to you. So because I know you like that film a lot, and I have them, I just got given it for free. So I have a really lovely package, but it's not 4K HDR, it's just 4K SDR. But it's still beautiful. So
you also have a 4K HDR version?
Yeah, I have a 4K HDR version, but yeah, I got given a 4K SDR version.
Watch it.
I watched the HDR one. Yeah.
Watch Akira and Top Secret on Paramount Plus. Another film I watched was Captain Fantastic, which I've been putting off forever to watch, but it is a delightful film with Viggo Mortensen and Nicholas Hamilton from It. He played the bully in It as a little boy. The guy who I keep forgetting his name of, George McKay. He was in 1916 or 17. The sequel. I really enjoyed this film. It's a nice, I would put it, I would probably marathon this film with Little Miss Sunshine. Similar vibes.
Similar. Yeah.
And they're like road trip films, which are nice. I also watched The Florida Project, which I've been putting off. I know. Finally watched it. I really liked it.
It's really
good. Sean Baker does really good, just people going about their days. They're not the most likable people, but you get drawn into the worlds that he creates, and the fact that many times me and my family, such as yours, have visited Florida and driven up and down International Drive. I recognized many of the places that they visit, and it was very nice to watch. And Willem Dafoe's
2018. I went to the Magic Castle. Over on the car park of the Magic Castle when I was there in 2018. I felt a bit bad because it was almost like tourism of like it just felt like really weird tourism in a way, because I kind of take a tour around the Magic Castle like that. But
let's go see a rundown motel.
Yeah, it felt very strange, but it was just interesting. Because that had been there right under our noses. We'd stayed not too far away from that in like a villa. It was in like the first time we went. So it was very close to home, I guess, in a way that you didn't realize when you're there, because it is so, you get caught up in all the Disney shit. You don't realize that shit's going on like at all. Yeah. So.
But I didn't hold Tangerine very high in regard. Which attributed to me not being like, I need to see The Florida Project. But watching The Florida Project has made me excited for Red Rocket, his next film.
Starlet's worth a look as well, if you can find it. It's very difficult to track down, but Starlet is worth a look.
All right.
This is our one.
What was his first film? Was Tangerine his first film?
No, he's done a couple other ones that are just physically impossible to get a hold of, like from 2000. He's been active since 2004 making indie films, so there's just loads of shit you can find if you can find it. I've tried my hardest. But it all downloads at like a kilobit a second, and I don't have 6 weeks to download things. Not even 6 weeks, like 14 weeks to download things. So just sort of give up, you know.
he seems to be A24 love him. Because he seems to be the kind of filmmaker that just always comes in under budget and always finds a way to cut the budget. Because he uses a lot of real people and locations. He says he's dreading the reaction to his next film. So that should
be fun. Can't wait to watch it. Yeah. It's gonna be great.
I also watched last night. It came out in America on Netflix, but it's not out here just yet. But you can watch it using NordVPN or ExpressVPN or any other kind of VPN, I guess.
I'll leave my refer friend link down below for ExpressVPN.
Yeah. Which one of you wants to pay us? You can use them. But yeah, I watched Gunpowder Milkshake, a new film starring Karen Gillan and Lena Headey and other actors like Michelle Yeoh and Angela Bassett. And I'm going to butcher her name because I always forget. It's Carla Gugliano or something. She was in the mum from Spy Kids.
I'm no help to you, buddy. I don't even know who that is, really.
Not remembering her name. Carla Cugino or something like that. This film was very boring. It was a very by the books, run of the mill action film. Like a hitman kills the wrong person, and then the parent of that man is a mob boss, so they send all their men to kill this hitman, and it's one man against the whole army. And then also mixed in with the hitman has to team up with their distant parent, which usually comes in like the sequel to the film, but they do it first. And so Karen Gillan plays the hitman, doing her Nebula voice. But
oh no, not the Nebula voice. I like Nebula, but oh my God, not the Nebula voice.
Yeah, the problem with doing the Nebula voice is that when she's Nebula, she's an emotionless robot. So, and she's like traumatized and emotionally detached from everything. So it makes sense. But in this, it just becomes like cheesy and just, I hated it so much. And also, so her mum is played by Lena Headey, who played Cersei in Game of Thrones, who is British. Now, Karen Gillan is Scottish, but for some reason in this film, she's American. She has
Lena Headey doing a British accent.
A terrible American accent, but Lena Headey keeps her British accent. And it's not like she gave her up as a baby. So Karen Gillan's grown up surrounded with like American parents. She is shown to have her mum ran away to keep her safe, but she was like a teenager, like a late teens, so still British. So you don't lose your accent that quick. So yeah, that was terrible, and I hate whisper acting. It was one of the worst parts of the CW series, all those shows of DC, all the DC shows on yes. CW.
Oh, the Arrowverse stuff.
Yeah, every time Stephen Lang would talk like this, and we have to save the world.
Do what I have to say. We have to save the world.
They're whispering really loud. I couldn't save her. It's like, talk, emote, because it's all to be like cool, but it means you can't emote. And
where's the bomb? Tell me where she is.
The only person that's really good at it is Keanu Reeves, because
yeah. You can emote doing any voice.
Yeah.
It's always doing the same thing.
Yeah. So it's a very... yeah. And the ending, it's basically, there's milestones throughout the film to end each arc, basically, which are big fight scenes. But it's always multiple men fighting Karen Gillan. And then it ends in like the weirdest way. I won't spoil it, but it ends and it's like, oh, so the hero was in a tricky situation, and then they solved it in like the easiest way possible. Yeah. And the most obvious as well. They play it off as if it's not obvious. The cinematography, however, and the fight like coordination is pretty good. So I'll give it only one thumbs down.
A great week for movies.
Yep. But yep. A fantastic week
for re-watches.
Disney Plus.
Oh, right. Yes.
This is an fire L. Through.
Oh, is it an L? Yes.
My headphone just fell out of my ear.
The final episode of Loki. I didn't hear that. No, I didn't see that. The final episode of Loki hit Disney Plus on Wednesday. Finally revealing who was at the end of time, who was in the big old castle, what was going on, what happens. So big spoilers for Loki. If you've not seen Loki, you can skip ahead to the next section. But I'd imagine that's just the end of the show. So
this is the end of the show, yeah.
Yeah. So, in the big castle, it was revealed that the one who remains is in the big castle. It's the Citadel at the end of time, who is played by Jonathan Majors, who has also been cast as Kang in Quantumania, and is pretty much confirmed to be Kang in this.
They did it.
Episode. They did it. They did a Kang.
Yeah.
there's lots of talking, lots of sitting about. They just they don't do much really other than Loki and Sylvie fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And then Sylvie betrays Loki. That's it, kind of. And then the
time and Mobius has his stuff going on.
That's true. Mobius does have also sits and talks with Judge Rayner.
No, but there's also the whole trying to find like who, and they find out who Renslayer is, and she's just a teacher. Imagine if like all the TVA like employees are just people from a timeline where they weren't snapped.
That'd be fun.
That was just like the other half.
Yeah.
But yeah, people on TikTok keep putting up videos that are like, so the baddie was revealed to be Kang. I wonder who thought of that and who predicted that. It's like everyone predicted that.
We all knew it was Kang. There was some of us that were like, maybe it might be... There was two camps, but most people knew it was going to be one or the other, and most people knew it could have been both. But I was still swaying between both. It could have been a variant of Loki, which would have been shit. And it could have been Kang, which was
It would have made sense if it was Loki.
Aha, uh-huh. I know, I would have got that, but I still would have thought it was shit. I also think that the Kang reveal was a bit... was great. Jonathan Majors is incredible as Kang. I thought Jonathan Majors knocked out the fucking park. He was brilliant. But yeah, no, I thought the episode as a whole was a bit of a downer, a bit of a letdown for a final episode, but the ending and the consequences for what it means to the rest of the MCU is really interesting for me. Since Sylvie plunges, like, but Kang says, like, oh, if you kill me, the timeline splits apart, and all the other Kangs are going to try and fucking kill you, or you can just take control of the TVA and keep pruning the timelines and you can be in charge of the time. And Sylvie was like, fuck you, I'm going to kill you, and destroyed the timeline. And there you go. We've got lots of different timelines going on now. Which is...
strike me down and I will become more powerful than ever. But the fact is that Sylvie committed the sin of greed, and she finally got her revenge. But that's the problem that Loki had been learning throughout this entire series of not acting selfishly and not acting out of greed and helping others. So the fault that he had learned to overcome was the fault that she could not, and has resulted in these consequences. I keep moving my hand. It feels really...
What did it cost? Everything.
That's my... But yeah, you've watched Lovecraft Country, haven't you?
I've watched the first two episodes of Lovecraft Country.
Okay. You were watching Lovecraft Country, weren't you?
Uh-huh. Yes. And Jonathan Majors in that. That's where I know him from.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck, Jonathan Majors. He's incredible. He's incredible in everything he does. And he's had his big breakout role in a film I really wanted to see at London Film Festival, but I couldn't get tickets for. Last Black Man in San Francisco, which I need to get around to at some point and watch.
Oh, right.
Yes. I really want to watch that because he's the main character in that. And that's just, I really need to get around to it and watching it. But yeah, no, I think seeing whatever Jonathan Majors is in next, I'm very excited for. I just want to see, because next scheduled to show up in Quantumania, but at the end of this, we were told Loki's getting a season 2. I forgot to say, at the end of Loki, he goes back to the TVA. Owen Wilson doesn't know who the fuck he is. And that's the cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's an alternate TVA.
Yeah. And then we get the post-credits scene of Loki will return in season 2, which was spoiled for me as soon as I opened Facebook that morning, because everyone decided to say season 2 of Loki announced, which was disappointing.
Just going back to Jonathan Majors, I really enjoyed his acting. Just wanted to say my part. I really enjoyed the fact that he was all charismatic and like, yeah, this really smart character and basically like a cheeky emperor, because that whole scene mirrored the emperor scene in the Death Star at the end of Return of the Jedi with him in the seat and then the big thing. So it was really fun to see him play a cheeky version of this character, and then he's now going to be playing obviously a darker version of the character. So it was fun to see an actor play different versions. When he's revealed he's eating an apple, and
bad guys always eat a fucking apple.
it's ironic because bad guys can never use Apple products.
There you go.
So yeah, basically it's a symbolism of like arrogance and yeah, that's why we see it in like Barbossa eats an apple in Pirates of the Caribbean. Draco Malfoy is eating an apple at the Hippogriff class. James Kirk is eating an apple in the simulator at the Academy. And it's all about like the original sin and how Eve ate the apple and all that. But we went to our community to ask what they thought.
And the Fraser one Porter, man in our community.
Fraser Porter, the Fraser Porter, friend of the show, said he really enjoyed it. Cemented itself as my favorite MCU show so far. Majors was fantastic, and I can't wait to see more of him. The finale set up so many exciting prospects, and I can't wait for them to all be explored. So, yeah.
Yeah, the stuff at the end, the prospects of what's happening at the end, really interesting. I'm excited to see what Spider-Man, because obviously the rumors are true. Spider-Man, Doctor Strange. Will it tie into Hawkeye and Miss Marvel? Who knows? Who knows?
Can we get a trailer for Hawkeye and Miss Marvel soon, please?
That'd be lovely if we could have that. Does it make What If canon?
I think it is. I think that's what... I'm not sure what result, what effects it will have on like films and series, but I think now it is canon.
Mm-hmm.
Because all these timeline variants. So, yeah. And even the variants had variants and all that. So, well, the branches had branches. It's like a tree now.
It's a big old fucking roots. Roots. Lots of roots. Roots.
But it'll be nice to see. I wonder if in Thor they'll do like the Yggdrasil, the world tree sort of parallel of it all sprouting off. And that'll be quite cool if they do that.
Very cool.
But yeah.
Season two, where you, for some reason people are saying February. Is that the rumor? Do you know if that's true?
That's too soon, far too soon.
I know, but will we get it before Doctor Strange?
No. I'd say at least a year. I think it's very much it's a Book of Boba Fett situation. Okay. So yeah, they've maybe been filming it, but it will be a year.
He was in costume in May, so yeah. He was doing something.
Yeah, because what's TV shows where I think we're gonna have like Miss Marvel, Hawkeye, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, all that before Loki season two.
Do you really think so?
Yeah, If anything, I think it will set up Ant-Man Quantumania.
But then you need to get it out for next year then, because that's beginning of 2023.
Yeah, so it's not coming out before this year.
No, yeah,
time travel.
I think July again that'll probably be the easiest situation for them. So
where does Loki season one rank on your MCU series list?
At the bottom so far. Yep. I like Falcon and Soldier better, and I think WandaVision is still the best. So sorry.
Wow.
Yep. Controversial. I guess you're number one.
We're getting controversial. Yeah. Either. Loki, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Fair.
I really enjoyed the series. I especially enjoyed the finale. People are getting pissed off because it's like you spent an entire final episode explaining stuff, but it's a series. It's an actual season finale. So it was setting up second season and also the entire MCU from now on. So why is Spider-Man Far From Home set so far after all this is happening?
Is it actually, though? Like, really?
Because, well... when is this set? Because it's technically, it started in 2012 when Loki was taken.
In all time. It started in all time, though. I think it's set directly after Endgame but then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, that's Loki.
That's Loki.
Out next week is The Wrath of Man, the new Guy Ritchie movie starring Jason Statham.
Okay.
And Old, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie, where all the people get old on the beach.
On the beach. That's it.
On the cinemas. I don't know what Netflix is up to. Are they up to anything?
Netflix on Friday is the premiere of Masters of the Universe, the new Kevin Smith directed cartoon animation sequel to the original He-Man and the Masters of the Universe series. So that will be nice to watch.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
I haven't seen. I don't know anything about the original, but be cool to watch some new Netflix animation because I'm loving it so far.
Same. Well, I was gonna say same. I've not watched any.
What are you going to watch? What have you watched? What did you think of Loki? You can tell us down below on YouTube. Yeah, you can tell us in the comments. You can message us. You can at me, at Real Jordy Steele on Twitter. You can also message the show at Ohi Films and at Four Eyes Giant. Cameron, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at CamsoOG, or Twitter and Instagram at CamsoOG. You can find me doing stuff on ohifilms.com. I do another podcast called 35 Minute Movies, where we just finished doing Vin Diesel stuff. The final ranking episode should be out this week at some point. And then with the announcement in that show, what the next person we're doing is in that will start sometime in August. So there you go. That's kind of me at the moment. So go on, 35 Minutes Movies is down below.
Fantastic.
It's everything.
I hope you have a lovely week. Bye.
See you later.